A cloud hovers over the puddles. Every day, clouds zipped across the sky until they got to the puddle property. No one knew why. All anyone knew was that when a cloud did get to the puddle's house, it stopped. It took time out of its busy schedule to hang out for a while and practice its shape-making. It was as if the cloud suddenly forgot it was heading to a hurricane in Florida or an important blizzard in Canada. Perhaps it knew a family named Puddle lived below. Or perhaps, as Baby Puddle believed, there was a big sign in the sky above their house that said, "Stop for Puddles." On this particular morning, on the last day of August, under a dog-shaped cloud, the Puddles dashed back and forth between their station wagon and the house. Baby Puddle loaded a backpack, a suitcase, 3 board games, her roller skates, her favorite stuffed dog named Snore, and 12 cans of dog food into the car. Tom Puddle carried his backpack, a suitcase, his records, a record player, his oldest stuffed bear named Bert, and a baseball bat out to the station wagon. Mr. Puddle returned to the house for just one more thing, 22 times, and Mrs. Puddle crammed books into every empty space she could find. At first, the Puddle's 2 dogs traipsed behind, back and forth, from house to car to house to car to house to car to house to car. Then they wised up, sat down in the grass, and watched the people Puddles load up their Ford Country Squire. The shiny red car with wood-paneled siding sunk down under the weight of so much stuff. Amazingly, the house didn't appear much emptier, even as the car filled all the way up. Boxes remained stacked on top of other boxes. Shopping bags, backpacks, and suitcases littered the hallway. The Puddles probably would have kept trying to jam things into the car, except that Mrs. Puddle looked at her watch and screeched, "Okay, guys, it's time to go. We're done. We're packed. Let's get into the car. Scoot." They looked at the car and could barely see through the windows. Baby wondered how they'd possibly all fit in it. Mrs. Puddle didn't really care how. She'd do whatever it took. Tom hadn't seen his best friend for 2 months, so he planned on holding his breath for the entire ride if he had to do that to fit in. Baby wanted to make sure she fit in because she missed her city bedroom, but since she was skinny, she figured she could fit anywhere. Mr. Puddle thought that if he didn't fit, he'd stay in the country, but his seat was the only empty one. Mrs. Puddle didn't like to drive on narrow, curvy roads. She refused to drive more than 35 miles per hour, so she couldn't drive on the highway, and she positively hated driving onto the ferry. So Mr. Puddle generally sat in the driver's seat, which happened to be the only seat without something already on it. He sighed a deep, sad, long, groaning sigh and got into the car. Before Baby got in, she looked up at the sky and saw the dog-shaped cloud. It lifted its back leg. Sure enough, rain fell on the Puddles. Chapter 2, Sunday's Storm. 1 week and 1 day earlier, Sunday, August 23rd. "Do you think it'll ever stop?" asked Baby. "Sure it will," said Tom, "but it needs our help." Tom walked into the middle of the room and started singing. Baby grabbed the orange tablecloth off the kitchen table and swung it into the air. Thunder that sounded like monsters clapping provided a most excellent drumbeat for a Stop the Rain song. Baby danced and Tom belted out all the rainy day songs he could think of. Mrs. Puddle joined in too. Fluorescent streaks of lightning added a dramatic touch to her operatic rendition of the Rain, Rain, Go Away song. Mrs. Puddle couldn't wait to get back to the city. She told Baby and Tom she might lose her mind if she had to stay in the country another day, and worried that if she lost her mind, she'd have a hard time finding it again. After singing her song, she plopped herself into a chair, placed her elbows on the kitchen table, and grasped the top of her head. Baby wondered if her mother was trying to hold her mind in place so it wouldn't get lost. Mrs. Puddle wanted to like the country. She wished she liked the country. But no matter how hard she wanted and no matter how much she wished, she didn't like the country. The only good thing she could say about it was, the country is nice on paper. Neither Baby nor Tom knew what she meant by that. All they knew was that she bellowed every time she saw a bug and shrieked whenever Charlie, the mouse that lived under the stove, ran through the kitchen. Their dad felt entirely differently. Mr. Puddle loved the country and hated the city. Every year he'd say, "A country mouse like me can't possibly enjoy winter in the city." He hoped the storm would never end. Every few hours, he'd sneak into the den to sing a "Rain, Rain, Stay and Stay, and whatever else you do, don't you dare go away" song. The long rainy day kept the puddles singing and dancing and wishing for the wind and rain to stop and wishing that the wind and rain wouldn't stop, depending on who was doing the wishing. The gray day eventually faded to the deep, dark black of a starless night. Then the rain let up and the wind stopped whooshing. "The songs worked. It stopped raining. Let's go see if the ferry is running," said Baby. "I'm ready."
"I'm more ready," said Tom.
"I'm the readiest," chimed in Mrs. Puddle. "Get your bags."
"Ready or not, we're not going anywhere," interrupted Mr. Puddle.
"We are going somewhere, kids. Get your thunderclap."
"What, Mom?"
asked Tom.
"I can't believe it," said Mrs. Puddle.
"Are the lights flickering or is it me?" asked Baby.
"No, they're not flickering. They're out," said Tom.
"The electricity is out," shouted Mrs. Puddle, without realizing that everyone could still hear her even if they couldn't see her.
"I'm afraid so," said a smiling Mr. Puddle. "Let's go to bed."
Mr. Puddle knew that in the dark, no one could see his smile, so he smiled as broadly as his cheeks would allow. Mrs. Puddle knew no one could see her tears, so she let a few slip out of her eyes. And Charlie the Mouse knew no one could see him run across the kitchen table, so he climbed up to collect some abandoned crumbs. The Puddles stumbled and stubbed toes in search of their rooms. The wooden floor creaked with each step. Several bruises and bangs later, they found their beds, snuggled in, and went to sleep. No one knew on that rainy Sunday that the storm would last an entire week. That's the thing about day-befores. Even if you think you know what's going to happen the next day or the day after that, you never really know until it's happening. The Puddles figured the storm would probably be over on Monday, and the ferry would start running again by Tuesday at the latest. They certainly couldn't know how long the wind would keep whipping the trees and flicking shingles off the side of the house. And of course, they had no idea about the events that would befall them on the day the storm finally ended.